Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Very excited to welcome Music Record Shop on sponsoring this episode. Music Record Shop is a premier record store featuring the largest selection of new vinyl in the St. Louis area, as well as new cassettes, CDs, and used vinyl. They offer hard-to-find titles from your favorite local St. Louis acts, as well as world-renowned bands. Official store hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. or later. Located in the heart of the Grove at 4191 Manchester Avenue, right in between the demo and the ready room. Find them online at musicrecordshop.com, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tell them the Rock Paper Podcast sent you. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
This is Jay Boozer, the world's drunkest band, with Rock Paper Podcast. Aw, yeah!
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. We'll call it episode 90.
Yes.
Jay Boozer.
Yes.
In the house. We are hanging out at CD Warehouse. Walter's here slinging some CDs and records. And so, welcome to the show, Jay.
Yeah, dude, at first they were playing Metallica. I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling pumped up, man. All of a sudden they switched gears on me. And they switched gears without pressing in the clutch, man. Like, they switched up to Pink Floyd, yeah. Man. Now I'm feeling a little mellow, yeah, you know, well, and a couple yeah. warm shots of Captain Morgan never make you feel mellow, but I do now.
Yeah, I show up, and the first thing he says is, here's a shot of Captain Morgan, and I'm like, this is going to be a good night.
Not just any Captain Morgan, warm Captain Morgan. And not like, hey, let's put some Captain Morgan in this coat. Like, straight, warm Captain Morgan. Smooth and crisp.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here sweating. I don't know if it's the warm or if it's the Captain Morgan talking or what, but
I'm sweating because I'm fat, but I don't know.
Well, so Jay's got a big show coming up here, man. What's the 17th, right?
Yeah, this Friday, yeah. The July 17th with Alien Ant Farm as my opener. I'm playing first, but. But yeah, they're playing and scenes of irony and I think they're yeah. So anyways,
The Firebird, yeah, great club.
Yeah, it starts at 7. I think I go on at 8, which is great because usually I'm always when I headline, they close by the time I get out of there, I only have an hour left to drink in that place and I have to go to the east side. But this time, I get a play, and then I can tear it up there and then go to the east side.
Yeah.
You see, so I have more opportunity to spend more money and have less for hookers.
Support the economy, man.
Oh, I'm supporting it, all right. In all the wrong ways.
Yeah, man, that's exciting. That's, like I said, I saw those guys a couple months back, Alien Ant Farm. They were here with Head PE at Mad Magician, and they ripped it up in there, and that was a good time. And so it's exciting to see that they're touring quite a bit lately, and they're back already. And I guess it should be a good night, man.
Yeah, I think like you said, it's I'm here in St. Louis. I haven't played in St. Louis in about 2 years, and so I'm glad to. To play in my backyard again, yeah. So it's nice. So,
why the hiatus?
Oh, I've been playing everywhere. Yeah. Just I don't play St. Louis anymore. Yeah. I just feel like it's too much. I don't know. It's just kind of. It's all what it is. Is when I play St. Louis, man. I always feel like everyone's like counting heads.
Yeah.
Instead of like, dude, how awesome was that show? How much fun was it? I always feel like everyone's like. So what's the first question? How many people were there? Yeah. Was there a lot? You know what I mean? And I don't get that where I go everyone else. Everyone just enjoys the show and has a great time. Yeah. And you know what I mean? If there is, you know, if there's literally 3,000 people there or there's 300, I don't fucking care. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I'm going to, whatever. Okay, so whatever that situation is, that is the very best I'm going to do with that situation. If the crowd's boring, there's nothing I can do about the crowd. But what I can do is I can do the very best with what I have, and I'll try to pull it out of them. You know what I mean? So it is what it is, you know. And the thing is when you start getting harped on, you know, and everyone starts measuring you and stuff like that, dude, it's not that important to me. Sure. Nothing's that important to me at all. You know what I mean? Like, there's absolutely nothing in this world that's important to me. Mm-hmm. And so when people start, you know, just, I don't know, it's not like anyone ever came out and said, you know, this or that. It just became kind of a general feeling, like a cloud over me. It started just kind of like sucking my life away. And I was like, dude, I don't even need this. Yeah. Like, you know, and so I don't. You know, and then I kind of got talked into this show, and now I'm kind of glad that someone kind of forced me to play here again, because at the end of the day, you know, it is my hometown here, and man, I just have awesome, you know, fans here. Yeah. So, you know, they're really excited, which makes me really excited, and then makes me realize that I'm an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an idiot. So,
you were saying how, like, I totally relate as an audience member. There's sometimes where the band will be up on stage and like kind of getting mad at the audience for not like not getting it or whatever, and they're like, you know, come on, everybody get to dancing and stuff and all this stuff. I was like, well, you shouldn't have to tell everybody to dance. Your music should move us to wanting to move and stuff, like, you know. It's like, so like you're saying, how, you know, if the audience isn't getting it, it pushes you to work harder to say, hey, look, you know, here it is. And you bring, you know, you bring the energy, and everybody starts responding to it.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I don't have a set list, you know, because I'm not sitting there like begging people to be one way or the other at a show. But what I do is, because I don't have a set list, I kind of play like this style of song, this style of song, you know, and you know, three or four songs. Man, I can kind of tell, okay, this crowd, you know what I mean? They want it heavy. Okay, yeah. Well, you guys want it heavy. Whoa, listen, I got heavy for you all day long, you know. Yeah. Or this crowd seems silly and fun and, you know, more like, you know, like just, you know, a big party. Well, you want a party, I mean, I can guarantee no one throws a better party than me. You know what I mean? So, and sometimes I mix both of them. I mean, just, I really go with the audience. I never have a set list. I never sit there and go, okay, this is what I'm going to jam down your throat. You know what I mean? I just go with the flow. What is the crowd going to be like? Well, I can't tell you until I'm about three or four songs in. Yeah. And then I probably have a great idea on how it is. And then, you know, at that point, I'm going to probably design the rest of my set in my head.
Right.
You know, to cater to that crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, give people what they want. And, or the mood of the night and everything else, you know. Instead of just telling
them. Yeah, I mean, if they want dirty lingerie and they want me in it. I'm not saying I'm going to have it in my suitcase, but I may ask someone to go get... What? That's weird.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. There goes the whole interview. Sorry about that.
Thing just got awkward. I kind of talked a bit off mic there, but I, one of the last times I remember seeing you live, which is made me a fan, was the Inkspot Block Party in Troy. And you came out. You had your drum in front of you there, and the guitar and harmonica and stuff. And
you only said drum. It's plural.
Oh.
Drums.
Sorry.
Bass drum, snare, yeah. And hi-hat.
Yeah.
And versus all the hipsters that I see now who do the bass drum and then the guitar. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, and here's an interesting fact, too, is that, you know, with the, you know, I was looking at Guitar Center or something. They have drums now that you can set up sideways.
Okay.
You know, when I started, there was none of that. There was no YouTube. There was no, I had no blueprint. There was no one I ever looked at on how to do this whole thing.
Yeah.
Therefore, that means I'm the originator, which is kind of cool. Like, you know, and I don't want any money from, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, you know, somehow down the way, through a pyramid of people, I mean, you're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that I've played through the years. Somehow it filtered through the corporate world, which is funny because, you know, being kind of an underground band,
yeah.
You know, it's funny that, you know, after a couple decades here, you know, that, like, what I'm kind of doing is now kind of, I'm not saying it's mainstream, but it kind of sort of is. And I mean, you know, there's been street performers, there's been other people who've done one man bands. I'm not a one man band, I'm a band with one man. You see the difference there?
Yeah.
I don't, but there's a difference there. But there is a difference.
Yeah.
What's up? Friend.
What's going on?
How are you?
Good? At a radio interview?
Oh,
keeping
sorry.
It real?
How are you?
Good, what's going
good
on?
Good to see you. What's going you. On?
Show me your tits, not you.
Woo!
Not you.
What's up?
None.
Oh shit, you are sorry.
I'll be with you guys. Hey, the Captain Morgan's over there, grab it. Seriously.
Yeah.
And bring it over here if you can. With the shot glass. See the shot glass over there? Alright, sorry yeah. about that.
Oh, that's alright, man.
Pesty fam.
Jeez. Getting swarmed out here.
Yeah.
Everybody's excited, man.
Yeah.
Jay Boozer's back.
I'm back, baby.
But yeah, man, that show was intense, man. That was one of the most fun shows I've been a part of, and like just to see you tearing it up on stage and it was, I don't know, like I said, it made me a fan, man. It was good.
Oh, great, you
so
know.
I'm looking forward to seeing it again.
Good, yeah, you know, and I would say on a scale of 10, that was probably gave it about a 3 on that show. I wasn't in my groove yet, but I'll tell you where you can, you know, and actually, I've never even seen video of me, like, you know, there's not very much video of me, believe it or not, though I've played, you know, this many shows, but if you do want to see some, if you go to YouTube, under Jay Boozer Tour, and that's because I lost the password to Jay Boozer, unfortunately.
That's...
And so, therefore, you know, I'm stuck with Jay Boozer Tour as my name for YouTube. But if you go there, there's a ton of videos. Spend an hour, you know, grab some weed or drinking or whatever people do, and you sit there and you just sit there and watch these videos. And after that, man, you'll get a rough idea. You won't get it, but you'll get a rough idea. And then when you experience it live, it's just ugly. It's just a mess. Everyone's a mess. Everyone's drunk. Right. You ready for another shot?
Oh, geez.
This
could get ugly.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why there's no video of this. We're just joking around on audio, so no one really thinks you're drinking because you're a true professional.
Right.
Here's your shot.
Yeah.
And here's the next Friday, right?
Friday.
Yes, it's going to be fun.
See you in the emergency room. Seriously, how smooth is Captain Morgan warm? Oh, man, is that stuff good? Hey, there he is.
Oh,
people are
man.
Coming all over the place.
I'm
see, listen, get in the radio, dude. You're on the radio.
Okay, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, this is Anthony, everyone.
I brought these for you.
Oh, great, man. We got posters.
You have posters now.
We're official.
You are all official and shit.
And so this is Anthony, and he's in a band as well. Tell him all about yourself.
Tell him all about myself. Well, I played in a band called Make Me Break Me for a while. A lot of fun. We came out of the woodwork and did a show in April. Other than that, you know, we're pretty much done.
Yeah.
But I do work at one of the prominent venues here in town. So that's a lot of fun over at the Firebird.
Yeah.
We've met a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just joking. He works at the penthouse.
I work there as well. That's just my free time, though. That's just for fun.
Just, hey, listen.
That's just for fun.
That's just a fun thing to do
that's
right there.
That's just something to do.
So let me ask you this. So do you have any plans on starting another band?
Probably something in the future, but I don't know what. I dabbled in a little bit of country stuff, which was kind of weird because I just came out of a metal band, so that was a little different. But it didn't really go anywhere. The guys weren't really motivated, so it was like one of those jam a couple times and then whatever, play a few covers kind of thing. But I'd like to, yeah. Why? You want to start a band?
Yeah! Let's do a country metal band.
You could do a country metal band. That would be amazing.
I mean, like death metal with country lyrics and country twang.
Yes. A little twangy.
Like the solos would be all like country leads, but the back, the low end would be
right.
death metal, and then the singing would be like, I lost my baby.
Yeah.
But it'd be like,
the solos would have to be banjos.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just screaming banjo solos.
Oh,
it would be amazing.
Gosh.
We're on to something.
Dude, we have something major
straight
here.
To the top, dude.
I can't believe. Listen, this interview's over. I actually have to go practice.
I'm trying, pulling it up now, that Rebel Meets Rebel. That was that David Allan Coe and Pantera band they put together.
Oh, really?
So
oh,
that was kind of shit. That was kind of in that realm of sorts, where it was like they metal. With,
metal. You know what's so funny? I actually had a chance to play with David Allan Coe years ago, I bore people because I always have stories about something. When you live a lot, I guess all of a sudden it's like, well, I actually. But anyway, so I did. You know, I didn't do the show because I didn't want to be known. Like, I just didn't. I guess I'm just not really a racist at heart. You know what I mean? I just couldn't, like, I just didn't want to be a part of it. Isn't that crazy? Because that would be kind of cool, but I kind of, like, I guess I really don't know anything about them. Yeah, I'll take another shot. Actually, make another round here, because waitress, bartender, she's fantastic. You guys don't know her. She's one of the best bartenders in St. Louis.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is working good. Pulling you some hot, Captain Morgan.
What are you pouring?
How
my
hard is
hand?
That? You got a hard right there.
Yeah, I mean, you are who you associate yourself with, though. So, I mean, you are... Sure, why not? You are partially right that, like, playing that could have been, you know...
I just didn't want it on my, like...
Resume.
My resume.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean? Like, I just... And so, you know... but I know the name.
Right.
So I just... But, yeah, I didn't take that show. So there's a little... There's some facts here for you.
Yes.
I like how we're about to take a shot while we're hanging out with my good buddy Glenn Fry and his album No Fun Allowed.
Listen, there is no fun allowed in this area. If you don't know, that's his solo masterpiece that came out, and I believe in 1988, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, sounds about right.
I have no idea.
Let's see. Let's, yep, 82.
Look
Close.
At that guy. Close. Look who's here.
What is
Mr.
That
Sophisticated.
Guy?
But he has, you know what? So, from a distance, you have the polo on, the khakis. I'm like, look at Mr. Sophisticated. As I do, he's got, it's a Bud Light
Where's the beer?
Polo.
Where's the beer?
Yeah, it's classic.
Time out.
Super
we need more glasses.
Here's your mine.
Yep, here, shot glass. Where's the bottle?
Right here.
Here we go.
I didn't even drink mine, so we'll do it alone.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, this is John.
Hi, John.
He looks like a mellow guy, but once he gets some shots in him, clothes start flying.
Yeah, Tana called me, and she sounded a little tipsy already. Oh,
yeah, I may have accidentally gave her some shots, too. Sorry about that.
All right.
Accidents happen.
Cheers.
Cheers to Friday night.
Friday night.
Alien. Who is it? Alien Ant Farm.
Hell, I don't know.
I still can't get over how smooth Warm Captain Morgan is.
Oh, it's amazing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Totally.
John, you need another one to catch up, buddy.
I need another one.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Here.
Here, just do the whole rest of the bottle.
All right, so what's the next question? Because I don't want to mess up the interview.
Oh, geez. Yeah, it's very professional here.
I'm
going to
go drop these with Walter. I'll talk to you gents in a minute. Lady
and gents. I don't know, man. But, what do you want to talk about?
Well, see, you're the interviewer. I'm the interviewee, therefore. Yeah.
I'm gonna grab one of these. The rest of yours.
All right. It's a nice looking poster, man.
Yeah. So it looks so okay. So this Friday's Alien Ant Farm. Now, I'm not sure if you know the people that you know are familiar with Jay Boozer. So essentially, I play drums with my feet, guitar with my hands, and sing at the same time. I don't use any looping or anything like that. And it's not that that's impressive. Anyone can play drums with their feet, guitar with their hands, sing at the same time, and violently hit their head with a hi-hat. The difference is how much I drink when I do that. That separates me from everyone else. And so that's a little bit about myself as far as that.
You never know what's going to happen either.
Never know what's going to happen because, like I said, I don't use a set list. So, how many million... You know, John here, would you say, what, 1 million, 2 million shows you've been to?
Yeah, just about.
I mean, how many strippers have... I have no clue. Now, this is a true story. I have no idea why a Jay Boozer show, girls feel like they need to go on stage and pull up their shirts. I don't sit there and go, hey, I need a girl up here to take off their shirt. I've never said that. But whatever it is, they always end up coming up and start dancing, and then the shirt comes up. Totally crazy. I'm not complaining, of course. I'm just saying, like, that's just... I guess I have weird powers. I can't do math, but man, I can. But my sweet music can remove shirts. Oh, man.
Well, at least it's just the ladies' shirts and not...
Oh, no, no, no. Guys lose their shirts, too. And pants.
Yeah. Those are lost.
Yeah. There's that one show. There's a show I did, actually, where I accidentally lost my pants as well. And I played with no pants or underwear on. And, you know, when I play, my legs are spread. And but the thing is, there's more backstory here. Is that... So there's this place that... I thought it'd be funny to do to bring in Jello shots, and so I made 800 Jello shots, and the club got word of this, and they're like, "You better tell him not to bring those those Jello shots in." And so I was torn because I'd already committed in my mind financially, the time making them, and so I came up with this idea to put them in a guitar case, and so I walked in, they didn't see any Jello shots, everything's fine and dandy, right? Well, next thing you know, I'm halfway through the show. I'm like, shots! And I grab the guitar case and just wing them out in the audience. Everyone starts doing them. And I'm not joking. There's people passed out on the floor, throwing up on the toilet. Because, I didn't know the mixture of how much alcohol you put in versus Jello. And so my numbers were way off. I mean, they weren't even solid. I mean, because they were just like, And so we're doing them. And I'm just like, yeah, rock and roll. And I drop my pants. And I'm like, everyone goes crazy. When everyone goes crazy, you're like, yeah! And so I drop my underwear, and then I start playing a song. And, dude, it just got rowdy, because everyone starts, like, peeling off their clothes, and it was wild.
Yeah, I bet. That sounds intense, man. A bunch of naked Jay Boozer and shots and, how many shots do you fit in a guitar case?
I think I got, I think it took me, was it two or three guitar cases? I want to say like 250 to 300 was the number that I could fit in a guitar case or something like that, if I remember right.
Future reference.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of years ago, but it was something like that, and so, I had a lot of guitar, I didn't have very many guitars playing that night, but I had a lot of guitar cases. Yeah.
Where was this at?
This is a place called Little Nicky's,
yeah.
Down in Soulard. When I first started, I was horrible. Horrible. Like I said, there was no blueprint on what I was doing, and I didn't know what I was doing. I was trying to do my best, and I thought the whole thing was to get as drunk as I physically possibly could, then go on stage. This is what I thought, hey, this would be entertainment. People would love this, right? Oh my gosh, dude. I was getting booed every night. Everyone hated me. I was like St. Louis's black eye. I mean, I was so hated in this town. And then all of a sudden I got this idea. I was like, man, I guess people go to music shows for music. And so then I like waited till I started playing. And then I did as many shots and everything I could. And at that point I started seeing it turn around, And then credit to the Tom and Jeff show on 105.7 is... somehow they got a hold of it here in St. Louis, a song called Smoke a Joint, and they started playing it at 420, and so they started playing it like a lot, and then all of a sudden I guess they played it so much people got kind of, maybe they got tired, I'm not sure, but all of a sudden then they made it a competition, which sucked for me because you don't ever want to lose, but I have no pull in this. So they start putting me against bands who've had millions of dollars of advertising, who are known worldwide. So they put me up against 311, and you're thinking, oh, crap, dude. It's 311 for crying out loud. Well, who won? thank you. Okay, you ready for this? Here's another good one. They put me up against, Sublime.
Yeah.
Smoke three joints.
Nice.
I gave them 2-joint advantage on that song, and I still won. You know what I mean? Because I only had smoke a joint, and they had smoke 3 joints, or whatever that song is. Yeah. And I beat them. And then, dude, and then tragedy happened. Dude, I end up losing. I mean, this went on, and it didn't matter. Like, it wasn't like, win, and then go to the next round. They just started doing, like, matching these, you pick which weed song, and so... but there was a song, and I don't even know how it's weed, but son of a bitch, man, it still bothers me I lost to them. The song a lot, I can't even talk about it, man. Another shot. This.
I got this card.
Thanks. This hurts. I'm telling you stuff that I've never told anyone.
Okay, yeah. We're going to get some deep personal business right now.
Where's your shot glass?
It's right here.
Oh, yeah, you do. Come here, boy.
Ready, John?
There you go.
He next needs some you more. Need to bring the yeah, you got. What's going on with you over there? I have to keep adding yours.
I got
to
run this show.
I got to run this show.
I got to steer this ship.
He's got a mouth. Let's see what you do with it, boy. Oh, all of a sudden he doesn't have a mouth. He has a cup.
Still got a mouth.
All right, what's this, too?
Tell us your personal
story. Oh, yeah, the story. The story of my... my heartbreak. So the song I lost to, 51-49, and I'll never forget because DJs are just like, "Oh no, you're kidding me!" Why not 24? It would have been enough to win, you asshole. So someone just said I called 22 times. So it was super. Something Nova. What was that song called?
Champagne Supernova.
Yes.
There you go. Woo!
Is that a weed song? I know.
It's not a weed song.
I know. I know. That's what I'm telling you. I don't need you to tell me that's embarrassing. I know. I lost the Champagne Supernova.
In the sky.
I kicked the crap out of 311. I demolished
Sublime,
but I couldn't beat Champagne Supernova. They were just too strong, man.
I guess it's Champagne, that's the rich kids.
Oh, there. Man, I guess Ledoux called in heavy that day. Ledoux came strong on the telephones, man.
Champagne now. Let's bring the big rich kids.
Oh, my gosh, dude, that was horrible.
So,
go ahead.
So Tom and Jeff, they're big supporters. They were helping you out, or is
well,
it,
not directly, but yeah. they got a hold of my song somehow, and they started playing here in St. Louis. Now, other markets had already found out about Jay Boozer, but you know, you always want it. Your hometown, it's your hometown. You know, it's like all this other stuff kind of doesn't matter. You're kind of like, dude, I want to be cool in my own town, you know? And sure. You could tell your friends all you want to. Dude, I am huge in China. And they're like, yeah, right, dude. And I'm like, dude, I got the hottest girl you've ever seen in Canada. They're like, yep, heard that one before. You know what I mean? But this was like actual audio proof that, you know what I mean? Like that someone out there thought I was kind of somewhat cool, I guess, or something. And so, so, you know, it was, I mean, gosh, that song must have been on the radio for 3 years here. And then you know, there's some other ones, but they never got the airplay that song did here, like in 105.7. Yeah. So props to 105.7, and hopefully I have another song that they will pick up here maybe this fall or winter.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm gonna to drop, you know, because I recorded with Coheed and Cambria, the keyboard player and bass player. So I have lots of material sitting there. I just haven't released it yet. So I'm just kind of waiting for the perfect moment. So,
yeah. You thinking before the end of the year, or what are you thinking?
I'm not sure. Just, I just, you know, kind of whenever I'm not sure. Just when the right push is, you know? I'm not really sure. Do you need another captain before you leave?
No, I'm good. I gotta go to work, man.
I'm good to captain here.
All right.
yeah, man. Well, I what's so how many albums you have out now? Like right now?
It's funny you said that. Actual full length studio albums?
Yeah.
One.
That'd be the Heather one.
Yeah.
The Life Away.
Yeah.
I like that one. I have that at home.
You know, the thing is, people don't understand is that. Is expensive and time consuming, and I'm sitting on probably 5 CDs worth of material, and just the actual recording of it is, you know, it's hard to do when you don't have a major record label. You know, that's what's something that's always separating me from everyone else. Not a good thing. It's just kind of the way it is that I've never had the financial backing that other artists have had. You know, for promotion, you know, they have a team of people who call radio stations or call program directors and say, hey, we want this artist on, and they have a relationship and stuff. You know, I don't have that. You know, it's solely just people who, you know, tell other people. You know, and another thing is, you know, I record in Los Angeles. You know, so it's, you know, I gotta fly out there, you know, I gotta stay out there, plus the actual cost of recording, plus the duplication of CDs. You know what I mean? Like, all this is expenses that, man, I just don't have. And so it's not that I don't have the material. You know, if you go to a live show, you'll right. see it's endless amounts of material. It's just not laid down on CDs yet, you know. But you know, so, there's a song called When Saturday Night Turns Into Sunday Morning.
Right.
And, you know, that's probably close to a million hits.
Yeah. You got a crazy amount. Like, I went through your YouTube stuff, and, yeah, there's a lot of them, several thousands of hits and everything. And almost, like I said, that was almost a million. And it's like, it's nuts that how much, you know, the YouTube is blowing up for you, man. It's great.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just one of those things that I'm glad to see that, you know, people are responding to it. And, but, you know, I mean, still, you know, I just haven't finished, you know, I mean, I just haven't finished the actual recording of it. So, you know, it's just, we'll see where that, you know, and with everyone doing singles, everyone's doing, you know, EPs and stuff like that. You know, I'm just not sure what direction I want to go and what's the smartest, quote unquote, business move. You know, not that I'm a businessman, of course, but there is something to be said, like, I don't know. If I have $10 in my name, where do I spend that?
Yeah.
So that's what I have going on.
Right. You're, they got like, I mean, now that everybody seems to be doing a lot of this crowdfunding stuff.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, people can pretty much, like, pre-order a record and stuff. And is that anything you've thought about? Or
never thought about it. You know, I just feel like... I don't know. I just don't think I'm internet savvy enough to pull that off. You know, like, I think that's one of those things that when you're in high school or you're just done with high school, you know, you rally all your friends. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they tell their friends. And so it's much more, that's easier to network when you're younger. You know, I'm old man. You know what I mean? So it's like one of those things you just have to love the music to support it. And I can't, you know, I guess if you want to support me, buy iTunes songs, you know, and those son of a bitches take so much money that, you know, I mean, there's some left, but, but they get a lot too. I can't remember the number. Is it 20%, 30%?
Yeah.
I think they get 30% or something, don't they?
I don't even,
or maybe they get 70%. I can't remember which way it goes.
I think it was something like that. Like, I don't know.
So they get 70%, I get 30%, I think is how it works, or something. I don't know. I'm sure someone much more in tune with that could figure that out.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I guess it's the best way, you know, to support me in order to get me to release more recorded music is to, you know, go to iTunes, go to Amazon, you know, buy a Jay Boozer song. And even if you hate it, just to help, you know, it helps. It really does, you know.
Yeah. So where you been touring quite a bit though? You said like over the last like 2 years that you haven't been here though. You've been out running around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean for years and years and years and years and years and years. You know, like I was doing almost 300 shows a year, you know, all over the nation. You know, in the last probably 2 years, I have not done. You know, St. Louis, but I've still been touring, not as many as 300, because, you know, quite honestly, I lived in a van, and when the market changed, you know, I used to be able to play 7 nights a week, you know, all of a sudden, there's not as many clubs, and the clubs that are around only do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so I don't want to sit in a van, you know, for 4 days waiting to play the next show, you know, in Wichita, Kansas, or something like that, you know, so... So, therefore, I just, you know, I pick and choose, you know, it seems like Colorado, like I'm, you know, keep getting, you know, flown out there, you know, so, you know, that's what's kind of changed, you know, before I just, you know, go for, you know, months and months and months in a van, you know, and just play everywhere, you know, now it's like, well, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, okay, and... You know, and I fly out to whatever, or, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I still drive everywhere, but it's nice that once in a while I still get, you know, to fly out to places instead of having to drive all the way out there. So it's nice and it sucks all in the same breath. You know, I'd rather play every single night than to play 3 nights a week, personally. I mean, that's just who I am. I mean... You know, I mean, I guess, you know, a lot of people joke, like, man, you're the ultimate road dog. Well, I take pride in that. You know what I mean? You're fucking right, I am. You know, and I've lost a lot of years of my life. I mean, there's no doubt I'll die an earlier life than the common person because of this. But it's something I believe in. It's something I do. And hell, I hope that, you know, there's younger people who see what I do and think it's cool and they take it up and they're better than me. Yeah. Fuck, I don't care.
What you said, that Fro, the Wandering Madman, said something about you influenced him to get onto it? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just taking what, you know, he said, you know, and I'm not sure if he saw a show or how it became, but, you know, some way or another that, you know, he saw what I did and it, you know, motivated him or he took the idea, but he took what I did and he made a whole different thing. So, you know, I even like that, you know, that's even better. But, you know, I mean, his show is completely different than mine, but, you know, he took the one man thing and, you know, and again, I've never wanted to be a one man band. Like I still, like if I ever make money, I won't be a one man band. Like, you know, I'll actually have a ton of musicians on stage with me, but you know, I'm just not in that position. And when you tour as much as I do, sometimes, you make money and most times you lose money, you know what I mean? So you kind of like somehow hope you just kind of like kind of hit the middle ground there. You know what I mean? As long as I can stay somewhere near zero, then I'll keep pushing until I can't push anymore.
Right. What's the craziest gig you remember out there on the road?
The craziest gig?
Yeah, you got any stories besides the getting naked and throwing shots at people?
I mean, it just never ends. I mean, there's so many endless stories that a lot of them just seem ridiculous because they're so far out there. You're like, dude, there's no way that could possibly happen. And I'm telling you, dude, I lived it. It happened. I mean, what's the craziest story? I mean, there's, where do you even begin with that question? A DJ having, you know, sex right there and in front of you with another guy as you're drinking beer, you know, like backstage. I mean, is that crazy? I mean, when everyone looks at that person as, you know, this way, and you're like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't even. I'm trying to think of like. I mean, you know, I'm sure you're looking for something that blows your. It would just be one of those things that I need other people around me because, you know, the problem with being, you know, with having so much alcohol in your life so much, like, sometimes I can't remember things as sharp as I'd like to.
Yeah.
But if someone helps my memory, if they jog it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it just never ends. I mean, I don't even know there's really too many shows that really... I'm sure a lot of the common people would think is out of control.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just kind of is how it, you know, maybe I'm the nucleus of it, but really it's everyone else who takes it and runs with it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you think of a crazy Jay Boozer, you know, one of the shows, like what, is there something that sticks out in your mind is like, oh, that was ridiculous.
There's totally something that sticks out in my mind. Now, it was right after a show. I don't know if that counts. Does that count?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I just told her right after.
We're at the Pops show. It was a great show. And we're all going to go to PT's afterwards. So we go to PT's. We're all sitting around the stage.
PT's,
know,
a strip club.
Throwing out the dollar bills, doing the whole nine yards. I look over and Jay Boozer's asleep. And I go, oh, my God. And me and my husband are getting ready to leave. And I go, babe, we can't leave him sitting like this. And he goes, no, this is the exact image I want. Jay Boozer passing out at the strippers. You know. So, but we did scoop him up and took him home, and he slept in our basement. My kids got up the next morning, like, Jay Boozer's on our couch, Mom! Jay Boozer's on our couch! I'm like, really? I know, he's down there, it'll be okay.
So I became a museum piece, or a zoo animal.
Jay Boozer's on our couch.
We got second generation of Jay Boozer.
I don't deal with music or inspiration. I just actually, like, force them into it. So, I mean, like, it really is a situation where if you really just have to talk to, you know, fans or people who've been to shows, and everyone has a Jay Boozer story, I guess, and And you just, I just don't even know where to begin. Like, I really just don't. Like, I was trying to think of it, like, and I'm so overflooded with, like, gosh, you know, I guess that is kind of wild. A lot of it, after years, becomes sort of normal.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, I mean, as weird as that sounds, just like, well, yeah, I mean, that happened, but no big deal. You know, where, like, you talk to Bill or Jane, you know, who worked the 9-to-5, and they're like, whoa, what? Yeah. I want to live that life.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's kind of like the whole, like, you know, like, like Motley Crue, like, you know, Mainline and Jack Daniels, like, that's normal for them, but.
I wish I knew them, because I would bury them drinking. Yeah. For sure, absolutely, without a doubt. Even if they did cocaine, because let me tell you, the people I like to hang out with are people who love cocaine. And you're probably asking, why would you say that? Here, let's do a toast. It's because people, like, and I've never even done cocaine. Isn't that crazy? Because everyone automatically assumes that, you know, I've never even touched it. But the reason why I like hanging with people who do cocaine is because they don't puss out after a while. Like, they keep going all night until the next day. You know what I mean? And so, like, I know the party won't end when I'm with those kind of people. Yeah. So I know I'm always hanging out with them. Because they know how to party, to be honest with you. But I've never done it.
Yeah.
I know people don't believe it. I would love to take a lie detector on that. Because, one, I know I'm the inventor of the sideways snare and rock format, you know, doing the one-man show. And two, never done cocaine ever in my life. But I will absolutely bury you, Mr. Cocaine Person, in partying every day of the week. But that's why I love you.
All night long.
Like Lionel Richie, baby.
Yeah. And the reason why, like, I know the strip clubs is because, good grief, man, that girl was fat, dude. And a fat girl will put me to sleep every time on the stage. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about...
What?
What the
hell was that? Nothing.
You can't.
I'm like,
shh. Here, let's do a shot.
We already did
it. Oh, let's do another one. Yours mine? Keeps building.
Yeah, yours keeps building.
Like, we keep putting 2 ounces, just proper amount, shot amounts. You know what I mean? We're not trying to get crazy here.
14-ounce of Jaeger last time I was with you. Oh, my God.
Hey, oh, okay, what's... Here's... Okay,
I had to pick my mother-in-law from the airport. You know, I was late, first of all, trying not to learn to smell the alcohol in my breath when I pulled up. Well, you know, I was breathing all over 14-ounce. It was a full pint glass full of Jaeger that I drank before I picked her up at the airport.
So, okay, I'll give you... You want a couple quick stories? Though. We're here at CD Warehouse, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a story. So I go up to the bar. I'm like, hey, I need a pitcher of Jaeger. And they're like, And the music stopped. The people stopped talking at the bar. Everything went silent. And the lady's like, I don't know if we could... Let me talk to the manager. And so she goes to the manager and he walks over. He's like, I don't... think. I'm like, come on, man, just a pitcher of Jaeger. And he's like, let me call the owner. So he calls the owner, and the owner's like, no way can they do a... And so, you know, he tells me, he's like, hey, you can't do a pitcher of Jaeger. I'm like, what about a pint glass? So he's like, well, I guess that's all right. I was like, okay, I'll take 6.
Yeah.
Might as well give me a pitcher.
And so, yeah, and so he gives me 6 pint glasses of Jaeger. I take it in a tray, and, what do you think it was? Probably, at the very most, 6 of us? Yeah, I don't know. Like, and so we started pounding Jaeger. The year before, oh, here's a funny story. Let's rip on this guy. We're on air. I love this. Oh, yeah. So, what's a guy who was on, he's in a big band now. What the fuck is his name?
Chad Jensen?
No, the guy, remember, you were going to kick his ass.
I was?
Yes. Oh, what is, it's a big band. Yeah. Shama's Harvest.
Oh, it's your party over there. He was kind of a
D-bag. Listen, okay, so here's how it works. For whatever reason, I don't know why, I get along with him, but he's like that friend you have where everyone else hates him.
Yeah, nobody liked him.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm so, like, constant, like, dude, please don't kick his ass. Please don't kick his ass. You know, like, talking to all my friends, like, dude. So, anyways, I don't know how many people were over there, but the waitress and the bartender said that in 2 hours we did 26 pictures.
I remember that.
And there was... maybe 10 of us there.
Yeah, I remember that.
10 of us. 26. I don't know what the math is on that. We started playing speed quarters, and then it started becoming like competitive on, like, dude, I can drink a pint glass faster than you. And then it just became like an all out, like, It was almost like sports, but with drinking. Like, yeah. It was almost like...
And not getting off your ass. Not like real sports, because we weren't moving.
No, we didn't, no.
Just our arms, you know?
Yeah, but so this guy, he would come in, he would do like a pint glass, and all of a sudden he'd mysteriously leave for like 45 minutes, and then come back like, dude, I can outdrink all you guys. And so we're like, all right, get your glass up, bitch. And then we'd do it again. And so anyways, so I hear that his singing... like, what do you call the people who train you? The singing instructor?
Yeah.
The singer, the singing instructor he has or whatever, said he called and didn't know where he was and he was lost and needed help. And so he had to come pick him up. That's the guy from Star Wars Harvest. Oh, man.
I remember
and we've
that.
Never seen a party with us again. But,
I seen it. I met a dude. I'm just going to throw this out there.
Whoa. And does he know about this?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Let's
do a shot.
Up at Crossroads.
Crossroads.
And he heard me saying Jay Boozer, and he goes, I know that. I play with that dude. I love that dude. He's my idol. So I text you that. I looked at my phone. Well, I got to have a new phone.
What about your mouth?
I look at my phone. I had a new phone. I don't have your number anymore. So I send Deanna. I go, I call Deanna. I need Boozer's number right now. Send it to me. I got to send him, tell him who this guy is. From L.A. No, he's from New York. He had a loft in New York, lived down in New York somewhere, and he was up here on vacation. He's played with you and loves you. So I was trying to hook you guys up. Well,
what kind of party is this?
Listen to this shit. Listen to this. Seriously. So Deanna sends me your number. So I go to send this text to you and tell you about this guy with his name, the whole nine yards. I probably have it in my phone, actually. I send it right back to Deanna. She didn't get it till the next day. She goes, did you meant to send this to Boozer? And I go, next day. And I go, oh, yeah. So, but I'm sure I have his number in my phone. I want to
pass it on.
Well,
and that
I'd
was
like
back in 96.
I mean, he was a huge fan of yours. He lived in, what was it, Queen Chain or something?
But you already deleted all your texts.
So. Oh, Deanna should have them. She's got, I'm sure she'll have it. But he knew, I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there and I talked about him. One man, he's like, well, what's his name? And I'm like, well, you're from New York. You wouldn't know. And he goes, I go, Jay Boozer. And he goes, I know Jay Boozer. I love that man. He's my idol. So you have a fan out there somewhere.
What the fuck? One fan?
A fan. You do. Another, you got a fan.
Another state.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool.
The best is all your stories from the road trips. You know.
With the Love Shack is that down, though. We don't have a Love Shack anymore.
The Love Shack on wheels, baby. So it's a white
Love
1995 conversion van. You look up the song on YouTube. YouTube. Called Love Shack on Wheels. And it's pretty much about transvestites, lesbians, and hookers.
Oh, sure. We have some of those at work now. I'll tell you about that later.
Right on. Yes. And so,
Charlie's.
Yeah, it's,
no idea.
It's a good time. It's a good song. People like it. So that's a song you can check out on YouTube.
Yeah.
A lot of people like Heather. I think the song sucks, but people like that. So, hey,
love
good for them.
Wheels, I love that song.
No, I'm talking about Heather.
I love Heather.
See, they're passionate about Heather, but
I have
I'm like, yawn.
Are you not going to sing that over the weekend?
I'll sing it.
Please? And Love Shack on Wheels?
You just got hollered out. He'll sing
I'll show you my tits.
Yeah, that's the only way I'm doing it. When the guy says... I'll show you my tits. You know what I mean? That's what I want to see. But, yeah, so
yeah,
that's a little bit into the world. I mean, it's just, you know, you're just on the surface here. But
yeah, right. Yeah, we're just scratching the surface there. Well, man, this has been fun. This is the most Captain Morgan I've drank on a podcast.
You haven't drank any Captain Morgan. What are
really
you talking
started.
About?
Dude, it's not even 5 o'clock in the afternoon yet. Wait till 5 a.m.
But yeah, I guess we'll look to wrap this up.
Up.
I'll drop what do you we'll put a couple of songs on me. What do you want to, which ones would you like me to play?
Play Redneck Tendencies.
Yeah.
Play
Heather.
I guess Heather.
Smoke a joint,
cause
just
cause. Smoke a joint.
Yeah,
talk
about that.
You know.
Okay, so put smoke a joint on there.
Yeah.
How about Love Shack on Wheels?
I like when Saturday night turns into Sunday morning, because I love the end of that song.
That's a rough
you like that song?
I love that song.
Me too. I think the end of that just is kick ass.
That's
like
my life.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, just
I'm
for
the guy you like to hang out with.
or not. No, but you know, here's let me give you a little backside information. What the hell? But anyways, so this song called "Saturday Night Turns Into Sunday Morning" is actually about a night that I had at Pops. Pops is a place that's open 24 hours a day. Yeah. In case people aren't familiar with it, and so I was sitting there, and it was Sunday morning. No, it wasn't. It was like Sunday afternoon, and I started Saturday afternoon. You know what I mean? So it was the next day completely, and I was like, man, I better get home. I can get, you know, it's just probably the right thing to do, but I didn't want to go home, but I thought maybe I should, because I'm like the last person in the bar, you know, at 2 p.m. in the middle of a Sunday afternoon. So I drive home, and I start puking out the side of my van on 270, which is the interstate. And listen, I don't drink and drive anymore, you know what I mean? But that was...
It
happened back in the day. You know, I'm just telling you, like, unfortunately it did. And, you know, we all know what can happen from it now. But back in the day, you know, I was a little more dangerous. And so anyways, I come back, and Walter from CD Warehouse, they call him up. I'm like, hey, man, dude, it was like this Saturday night turned into Sunday morning, man. I was like, I don't even know what just happened. And he's like, did you see God's... Hey, Walter Ray from CD Warehouse. Walter Ray. Anyways, he said something like God's flashlight or something underneath the door, you know, telling you it's time to go. And dude, he said that, and I mean, as fast as I could write, I was like, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
You know? And to make a long story short, so if you listen to that song, man, it's just not like some song of words. I mean, that's like, I felt like a complete douchebag, loser, like, man, it's a horrible feeling when you're like, man, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, I'm just now going to sleep,
right.
And, you know, and you wake up at 8 or 9 o'clock, and you're like, damn, dude, that whole day is gone now, you know, and it's that feeling, that depressing feeling of when that happens, and that's what that song's about, you know, and you know, kind of the sarcasm in that is like, I should be at church right now. You know, not so much that I go to church, but the point of like, you should probably be anywhere but at a bar from the night before, still at the bar.
Yeah, right.
You know, so When Saturday Night Turns Into Sunday Morning is a song that, you know, especially the end, like, check out the end. And I think, I personally, I mean, I think I love that song. I think it's a great song.
Yeah, it is, man. Cool, man. And CJ Boozer with Alien Ant Farm, July 17th at the Firebird.
That's right. I go on probably about 8:15. Doors open at 6:30. And if you've never seen Jay Boozer's show, at least, you know, see it one time.
Strap in.
Yeah, strap in and strap on. Strap on? Does that sound like adult? No.
Hey, that's where Love Shack on Wheels
comes from. Oh, yeah. So strap in and strap on.
All right, man, this has been a lot of fun, man. I thank you for taking a time out to hang with me and tell me some stories, and I'll see you Friday night, man.
Love it. All right, man, can't wait to see you Friday. Thanks for having me. Yeah, thank you so much.
It's time to get out, it's time to go back to your home. To girlfriend's friend Heather is so sexy in leather. She is my bartender. She gets my drinks for free cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather, cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. I wanna take her out to dinner tonight, get her drunk cause she's uptight, then take her back to my room so my girlfriend can't join us too. Cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. Cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. I want her and I love her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. Cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. When I'm sitting alone at her bar, the more I think that she's into me. Maybe I'm just getting drunk cause bartenders flirt to make money. Cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. Cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. I want her and I love her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. Cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. I think about her all the time, especially from behind. Bad thoughts cross my mind, especially from behind. Cause I love her and I want her. I want to do all the things I can't do to her. I want to fuck her, I want to please her. I want to put her in handcuffs, can't you see? I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. Cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. I want her and I love her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. Cause I love her and I want her. My girlfriend's friend Heather. Repeat myself, be like I'm saying something new. Though my friends tell me I'm not. Come on! Smoke a joint, you feel alright, that's right! Smoke a joint, you feel alright, that's right! Tend to repeat myself, be like I'm saying something new. Though my friends tell me I'm not. Come on! Smoke a joint, you feel alright, that's right! Smoke a joint, you feel alright. Though I tend to repeat myself, be like I'm saying something new. Though my friends tell me I'm not. They say, I say, I'm so stoned. 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 I'm so stoned.